Thank you for the beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you for our help and our strength and our ability to be together this way. Please be with Floyd and his family as they travel. And Brother David and Brethren there as they meet, as they fellowship. Please help them and our different part. Chad's preserved, they will be with us today. Be with us now in this lesson, and also the message. Help us to live for you today. Love them. In Jesus' name. All right, I think I'm ready for Psalm 146. that's a real challenge. That's the whole spirit behind non-resistance, loving your enemies. It's a reconciliation. So that there can be, somebody can be reconciled. When the enemies are made reconciled, people get along fine. When they get on good terms with God, that's what we want to be as ambassadors, to call people to be reconciled to God, to be on good terms with God. It's different than me and you getting along and agreeing to disagree. It's me and you and I getting along with God on His terms. That's the difference. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up all their wounds. He numbers the multitude of stars. Calls them all by name. Some of these verses, these psalms, you know, at different points in our lives, we'll read them, and they really don't mean much to us sometimes. I mean, to read, for some of you to read, He heals the brokenhearted, and He binds up all their wounds, may not mean a lot to you right now. But there will come a time in your life when this verse right there, those two lines, will be pretty precious to you. You'll need that. And that's why it's good to commit these things at least to the recognition and remembering. Hey, I remember that. You know, and it'll be precious to you at different times in your life. He numbers the multitude of stars and calls them all by name. That is beyond our understanding. There's no way we can understand that. I mean, there are stars that we can't even see. Because we're so far away. There are stars that are that make our sun a tiny speck, even invisible. We couldn't even see it compared to the size of that star, supposedly. That's what science tells. And we don't even see those stars because we're so far away. Or if we do, they're just tiny. And so He knows all of them. Calls them all by name. Great is our Lord, and great is His strength. His understanding exceeds every measure. You know, we measure things with numbers. What's the largest number? You've said it to me several times.
Googleplex.
Googleplex, is that the largest number that's known to man?
I think it's, I've worked in a lot of Googleplexes. It's a covered, a lot of number zeros behind it.
Yeah.
Does anybody else know about Googleplex?
You got the biggest number known to man. You have heard that. That's, I don't know how many zeros it is. Well, you know, like 1,000 has 3 zeros, and then 100,000 has 5 zeros after 1, which you keep going, 1,000,000 has 6 zeros, and 1,000,000,000 has 9 zeros, and 1,000,000,000,000 has 12 zeros. Well, this is, I don't know how many, this way out of zeros. And then, but that's not a problem for God. He knows the next number. If there isn't. And so, His understanding exceeds every measure. Out there, and think about the smallest things that we can think about, like an atom and neutrons and electrons. Think of an atom and the things that are, they even supposing that are smaller than those. He knows what makes those things. He knows things smaller than that. And it's just, there's no boundaries for God. Our Lord, our great is our Lord, and great is His strength. The Lord raises up the gentle, but humbles sinners to the ground. This is very important for us to keep in mind. I mean, it's a good thing to be gentle, and that means being kind to your fellow, to your friends, to your brothers and sisters. Just being helpful, gentle, not rough and selfish and wanting your own way and doing it the way you want it done. Be good to one another. brotherly love, let brotherly love continue. And the reason brotherly, they use the term brotherly love, is because of all people in the world, your brother should be as dear to you as anybody else. And you protect, care for, and you protect. But humble sinners to the ground. Begin with thanksgiving to the Lord. Sing to our God with a harp. To him who covers heaven with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass grow on the mountains, green growth, service to man. To him who gives cattle their food, who gives food to the nestlings of ravens. Think about all the birds. This morning we got up, we sat on the back porch, and the birds just sounded like we were in an aviary. I mean, a big place with a lot of birds in a zoo. And it's just all kinds of birds. And you think, every one of those, he feeds, he gives food for each one of those. And there's an abundance of food. Every nest is in a tiny spot of the earth. And there's a lot of birds. Chirping, its mother knows that it needs something to eat, and that's the way it is with the Lord. He shall not take pleasure in the strength of a horse, nor be pleased with the legs of a man. So these things are not so impressive with God. They are with us. We see back then they thought that the horse, and that if the horse you've got something. Like now we think you've got to get a truck, you've got something to get. Cummins or a Power Stroke or a one of those things. Duramax, yeah, you really got something. You got one of those. Because that's powerful. See, that's what, if that's in our language today. Or in the ability of a man to do something. I mean, we're just, he doesn't, that doesn't mean a lot to God. But the Lord is pleased with those who fear him. And with those who hope in his mercy. They see themselves as needing God and receiving from God what he has for us. And those are the people that the Lord is pleased with. So be pleasing to the Lord by fearing God and hoping in his mercy. When we hope in God's mercy, that means that we know ourselves. We know our failings, our faults. Often we see we're honest with ourselves and we know that we mess up and we know we have need of God's mercy. We know that if it wasn't for his mercy, we'd have no hope. And so we, as it says here, we hope in his mercy. And because we see ourselves as we are, or at least we're striving to do that, probably things we don't see about ourselves anyway, but we hope in his mercy because we're not, our minds are not clouded with a high estimation of ourselves. We really think we're something, we got together, we can do anything we want to do. That's a snare to boys as they grow up. Especially after they're probably a little older than you all, up until they're a man and realize, hey, Dad did know some things. And then they're, you know, they make foolish choices during those years based on the lack of fearing God and the lack of hoping in his mercy. Then they live with those choices the rest of their life. But if they've chosen to fear God young and hope in his mercy now, then they won't have those scars to live with the rest of their life. So you have an opportunity to do that for this age. All right. You have a sign. Go ahead and do that.
This week, we boys were supposed to get something tell about how somebody humbled themselves and told God what they needed. And I thought of how Solomon admitted that he lacked wisdom and asked God for more to help him lead the people.
Amen. Had leprosy, and Israel told him to go bathe in Jordan 7 times, and he thought that Israel would come. He thought that the king would come and heal him, and then Israel told him to just
Elijah told him to just
go and bathe in Jordan 7 times, and he did, and he got healed.
When the children of Israel were grumbling at Moses, he asked God for help. He helped Moses. I thought about the people in Nineveh, and they humbled themselves, and God forgave them, and they tried to be better people.
We were supposed to get an example in our lives where we could do better admitting. And I thought of when sometimes when brothers and I are disputing something and it turns out I'm wrong, I'd like to admit it, and I need to just admit it that they know more.
What about sometimes my brothers do a job that is just not done right, not quite finished, and how I can help fix that is by when it's my turn to do it, just really doing a good job at it and getting it done right.
Me and my brother, we argue quite a bit, and sometimes he's right and I'm wrong, and I don't really like to admit that he's right, because I think I should be right, but I should just admit it.
I just thought of the Apostle Peter when he was denying that he was with Christ when Jesus was being betrayed. He didn't want to admit that he was with God, with Jesus, because he didn't want to get persecuted.
Sometimes whenever I'm talking with Micah and he has thought something happened, and I said it happened a different way, and then later I find out that it happened as he said, sometimes I don't want to say that or admit that I was wrong.
Sometimes for me, boys will, or me and my cousins, we'll get to talking about something. We get acting like we know it all and whatnot, and then turn kind of find out that it happened the other way. Then you gotta, it's kind of hard to admit that you're wrong.
I was just thinking about whenever someone does something wrong to me and I react, I tend to think it's kind of their fault how I reacted, but I need to admit that it's completely my fault no matter what anyone does to me.
I was thinking about how it's one thing to admit your problems and to be honest about them verbally, just to kind of clear yourself, but we need to take action against those things after that. And that's being offensive to our problems is what really I've had the tendency to be honest and, you know, just, like, be real brutally honest about things. And I like to do that, but I've learned that the only way that I'm going to progress is by moving forward.
Sometimes when we get told something to do, my brothers don't listen quite as hard as I do because they know that they can. Sometimes they just ask me afterward, and sometimes I don't really want to answer them because I know they had their chance to listen, but I need to help them out.
Sometimes when me and my brothers are arguing over things that they probably know more about it than I do, and I think I'm right, and kind of find out they're right, and it's kind of hard for me to admit that they're right, and I just pray to them to be quiet and listen to it a little bit more.
I thought about the parable Jesus told of the man had two sons, and he went to one, told him to go work in the vineyard, and said, "Yeah, sure, I'll go work in the vineyard." And, but he never went. And he went to the next son, told him to go work in the vineyard, and he said that he wasn't going to. But had the second son, he admitted he was wrong and went and did it. I just kind of thought that's kind of neat. Kind of like Tyler said, the one son had to, was just like, "Yeah, I'll go do it, you know, sure." And the other son, he actually moved forward, and he actually did something. Even though he had a wrong attitude at first, he changed and went ahead and did it anyways. And I need to be better at just going to do it. Just need to get over having a bad attitude and just go take care of whatever needs to be done.
For the assignment, I'd like to think of a song or hymn that especially think about the first few verses in this song we read. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, for a song is a good thing. Let praise will be sweet to our God. But mainly the first one there. Just think about the song or hymn that, or just the stanza of that makes you think about praising.